All right, y'all. Welcome back to this here thing. It's the radio show. Anti-war radio. I'm Scott Horton, and our next guest on the show today is Jim Bovard, author of most books written. Actually, all the books that Tom Woods didn't write, I think James Bovard wrote. Farm Fiasco, Freedom in Chains, and Feeling Your Pain, and Terrorism and Tyranny, The Bush Betrayal, and my very favorite, Attention Deficit Democracy. It's so good, man. You got to read that thing. Hey, welcome back to the show, Jim. How's things?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having me on, Scott.
I should have mentioned that you're a senior something or other at the Future of Freedom Foundation as well. That's FFF.org.
Well, senior something is a title, and by God, I wear it proudly.
Well, you should. That's quite an honor, I would say.
Yeah, well, you know, yes, Future Freedom Foundation does some fine work, and I enjoy writing for them.
Yeah, right on. And you're in good company, Anthony Gregory and Sheldon Richman and Richard Ebling and James, what's his name, good old Jacob Hornberger himself.
Bunch of hardliners.
Yeah, Bart Fraser writes great stuff there.
Bart's a good fellow.
Yep. All right, so now this one here is called Dying to Corrupt Afghanistan. And you said something in here that really surprised me, something about how Afghanistan is the most corrupt government, has the most corrupt government in the world. And I just can't imagine that that's true compared to the United States.
Well, actually, this is according to Transparency International, with their annual ratings. Afghanistan used to just be a very corrupt place. Now it's most corrupt, except for Somalia, which really doesn't have a government. So, but it has a lot of other problems. Yeah. So, and it's interesting to see how the U.S. aid and other international aid to Afghanistan has proliferated over the last 10 years. The amount of corruption there has increased even faster.
Yep. Well, it sort of seems like the same thing as all the troops surging over all these years. They started out with a pretty light footprint, as Rumsfeld liked to call it, and a pretty low level of resistance. And then there's a little bit of resistance here and a little bit of resistance there. And the more there was, the more troops they put in, the more resistance they created. And it sort of seems like the same thing with this government, that they installed it and maybe it would have had a chance to build up its own power from the bottom up and be a puppet government for us over there. But then they've done nothing but surge more and more and more dollars and kind of build up this bubble of power that these people have that cannot be sustained.
Well, this has also caused a bubble in housing prices in Dubai, because so much of the money that the U.S. sent to Kabul was just shipped directly on over to the Dubai and other places in the Mideast. And it's interesting, the problems with this program, with the foreign aid to Afghanistan, they were obvious even 9 years ago. Our henchman there promised that he would take personal responsibility to make sure there was not any corruption in the foreign aid, and he was Mr. Karzai's promised that again and again. It's almost like a broken record. And even though almost everybody recognizes that he's full of it, the billions of dollars keep pouring in there. It's almost as if it's that the U.S. prestige is on the line, so the U.S. has to spend more and more to avoid admitting the failure of what they sent of all the money they sent before.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are indications now, a couple anyway, that Karzai is nothing but a junkie holed up in his palace. They used to call him the mayor of Kabul, and I think it was some of Crystal's men joked to Michael Hastings that now we call him the mayor of his palace in Kabul.
Yeah, well,
the mayor of his bedroom.
Yeah, this has been the trend for a long time. I mean, he's simply, there's not any evidence he has popular support. There's not any evidence he's really hands-on. Maybe that's a good thing. It's interesting. It's such a facade of a government, and yet most of the U.S. media still pretends as if he actually won the election a few years ago, and that he's actually governing with some modicum of concern about the average Afghan's lives. But in most of the world, governing is a synonym for looting, and we're seeing that in Afghanistan in Trump cards.
Yeah. Well, and it's most of our money that's being looted, not theirs. They don't have any money to steal.
Well, I mean, some folks here have got money. The drug trade is doing pretty well there, last I heard.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other folks who are honestly making money. But, to have just a tidal wave of foreign money coming in just is so totally disrupts values and everything else in the country. And this is the same thing that we saw in Vietnam. We saw this in other places. And yet, partly because there are so many Americans and so many folks who are well-connected who benefit from this cash influx, it keeps on going.
Mm-hmm. Was it Matthew Ho that wrote about all the brothels and all the foreign, you know, UN aid workers and NGO people and diplomats, and how all they do is just hang out in their giant mansions and go to whorehouses and live in their tiny little diplomatic bubble in Kabul, and while the rest of the country completely goes to hell? Was that Ho that wrote that?
I'm not
sure. One of these guys,
you know,
or Keir Cullen or one of them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are some UN folks. There are some USAID folks. They're out there trying to help in Afghanistan. But the system which has been created, partly by the U.S., partly by Karzai and his cronies, basically guarantees that the efforts are going to be self-defeating, or that they'll actually make things worse. I mean, it's hard to believe here we are slightly more than 10 years after the U.S. toppling the Taliban, that the Taliban have come back with a vengeance. And even though they were widely hated 10 years ago and collapsed like a house of cards, Karzai and his cronies have done so much to make themselves hated that the Taliban are rolling back.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think a big part of the PR about this would be, yeah, but, you know, at least they believe, you know, our guys believe in freedom for women and all this, and the Taliban are so backwards. But wasn't it just last week or something that this rape victim was put in prison for adultery, and then her only chance at a pardon was if she married her rapist? Like, these are our guys. This is the government in Kabul.
Well, it's, let's see, what's the positive spin on that? You know, I don't recall that coming up at the question for the White House press spokesman.
Well, this is a scripted, that was my favorite George Bush quote right there. You're not supposed to ask that. There's a script to this press conference.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good line. But, you know, it's interesting. It was doing some of the reading for this article, something which came up often was that part of the reason people have turned to the Taliban is because there's no system of justice at all with the Karzai and his cronies. And it's so overtly corrupt, and there's a horrendous amount of all types of abuse, including sexual abuse, tied to that. Whereas at least the Taliban did not rape young boys. That was the thing which is...
Well, and they threw rapists down the well. That was a thing. They killed them.
Yeah.
Same for the heroin dealers.
Yeah, I don't know. I would not have any faith in the processes, the procedures of the Taliban use, but at least they were not, you know, encouraging that kind of thing.
Right. I mean, that was the story of the Taliban, was they were harsh as hell. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't support them to be the government of anybody, but they weren't corrupt. They believed in their own, you know, I don't know, their faith or their ideology or their own slogans or whatever it was, enough that you couldn't just bribe them. They were, you know, hardcore law and order types, but they really meant it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's onerous to be under someone like that, horrendously onerous. However, it's worse if you're just under a bunch of bandits who are backed up by, you know, foreign military and can do or rape or, you know, seize anything that they choose.
Yeah, well, and I'm not taking their side. I'm just saying it's pretty easy to see how it is that the average Afghan might, you know?
Yeah, and there are so many things the Taliban has done which should have got them banned from any consideration anywhere, but yet the pseudo government that the U.S. has been backing up there has created so many enemies that they've undermined their support in spite of all the aid and all the military propping up.
Yep. Well, you know, I just read it was Michel Flournoy this time in Doug Feith's chair at the Pentagon. The policy department at the Pentagon saying that, well, you know, 2014 is just our midway point or something like that. I mean, they really think they really want to just stay forever and ever.
I guess these folks are hoping for pensions.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what they aim to get out of it, but I guess we can talk a little bit more about that on the other side. It's James Bovard. Check out his website. It's jimbovard.com, I think, actually. And you can friend him on Facebook. And you can look him up at fff.org. We're running his article, Dying to Corrupt Afghanistan, today at antiwar.com. We'll be right back.